Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
We are in a period of trust. We're in a century of trust. We are celebrating a century of trust. We are privileged to be here, standing on a holy foundation, not because there's bricks and there's carpets and there's stage and there's lighting and there's curtains and there's chairs and there's music, but because there's been a legacy that has been laid. There's been a foundation. 100 years ago, there were men and women who gathered. They gathered with a conviction that God was faithful, God could be trusted, and they gave God their yes. They didn't have what we have now. They had no technology. They had most probably no income. They had no structure like ours, but they had something that is strong, something that was deep and unwavering, and that was trust in God. From the early days of Richmond Temple, right through to Richmond AOG. This is the journey we've been on. It was Richmond Temple, then it was Richmond AOG, then it was Bridge Church, and now it's Pneuma Church, all the way through to Pneuma Church. This story of this gathering has been written line by line in the ink of trust. Trust. Trust in God's promises. Trust in God's word. And also trust in one another. You see, trust, if you don't know it, I'm going to reveal it, is a precious thing. Amen? Good preaching, JJ. Trust is a precious thing. It's not inherited automatically. We've got to know that. But it is cultivated intentionally. Trust can be won, but it also can be lost. But the most important thing is trust is built. And building trust is how one builds a legacy. And we're about legacy builders. So we are preparing to celebrate on the 26th of October. We're preparing to celebrate 100 years. But we have to realize as we prepare to celebrate, we're not just looking back. You see, you and I, we, this family that is here, we are building forward. Yes, we are building forward on the trust of yesteryear, the trust of the people that have gone before us. We are saying to the next 100 years, you can build on us. We have left a legacy of radical trust in Him. We've left a radical legacy of not only trust, but knowing and seeing His faithfulness manifested in our midst. Our theme this month is legacy. Today I want us to unpack this very theme of a legacy of trust. Because you see, we are building on a legacy of trust, but we need to continue to build on that legacy, so that in 100 years' time, people are referring to today. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, help us. Help us to get this realization, get this knowledge, get this revelation of what it means to trust. We ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. A scripture that guided the believers, that have guided the believers for many years and many centuries, which I want to highlight today as we move forward, is Proverbs 3:5. The first one that I'm going to read is out of the Passion Translation, because it says this: trust in the Lord completely. Underline that word, trust. Trust in the Lord completely, and do not rely on your own opinions. Say, ouch. No, that's with four people. So everybody say, ouch, because we all have opinions, don't we? Yeah, but the Bible is saying that do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on Him to guide you and he will lead you in every decision you make. He will lead you in every decision you make. Proverbs 3 verses 5 to 6 in the English ESV is trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean, underline trust, underline lean, do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Trust in the Lord. That Hebrew word for trust is batach. Everybody say batach. There you go. That's important. Batach means to lean fully. Batach means to feel safe. Batach means to be confident, to cling to. Batach is an active word. It's not a passive belief. It's not, what do I mean by passive belief? It's not agreeing with something in your mind, but not acting on it. Batach is active. To trust in the Lord is not to add him to our plans. It's to submit to him and his plans. To lean your weight, your entire weight of who you are, upon him. You see, our first generation church family who started this place in 100 years ago, they patach. They leaned. They clinged. They were very confident. They trusted God to move by his spirit, even when there were no resources, even when there were no crowds, even when there was only one thing, and that was a faith in a God they could trust. And it's because of their batach that we stand here today, 100 years later, worshiping, encountering him, bringing heaven to earth. They leaned totally. And what this word is saying to us is that we need to lean fully. We need to put everything that we have fully upon God. Where he goes, we go. What he says, we do. You see, because the very next one part of the verse that I want to highlight is, do not lean on your own understanding. The word lean in Hebrew is shan. It means to lean on, to support oneself upon. Lean on. I'm leaning on this pulpit. To support oneself on. To rely on yourself. To rest upon. This is batach and shan, these two words are intentionally written as a contrast. You see, both in the Hebrew, the trust and the lean convey the same image of placing your weight upon something or someone for support and stability. To trust, batach, means to lean fully and confidently upon someone else. But to lean means to depend on yourself. To depend on your logic, to depend on your feelings, to depend on your limited perspective. Let me translate that to opinion. You see, reality in life is you will lean. I will lean. We will lean. But on something or someone, it's either God or it's yourself. What is it for you? Where are you leaning? Solomon, the writer, highly recommends that you lean one way and the only way, and that is on God. Fully and confidently, putting everything upon him. But I want to say this. There's a difference between leaning. You see, I can lean on somebody. I could get Russ up here and lean on him, and I could really lean on him. And he wouldn't be as stable on his feet. He would move. I could lean on this pulpit. It's not very stable. It's not stuck to the ground. It moves. You see, when you lean on yourself,
It's not very stable. But when you lean on God, this is what the scripture is saying to us. When you lean on God, when you fully lean on God, there's stability. There is somebody you can trust. Because you're trusting the unshakable, unmovable strength of the Lord. You see, trust is the foundation of legacy. Why are you saying that, JJ? Because every great move of God begins or has begun with trust. It hasn't begun with talent. It hasn't begun with technology. It hasn't even begun with theology. It has begun with trust. Trust, the radical dependence on God's ability and faithfulness. Psalm 100 verse 5 reminds us that the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And then it says, and his truth endures to all generations. His truth. What sets us free? His truth. What is unshakable? His truth. What is unmovable? His truth. His truth endures to all generations. That means all our people over 50, all our people under 50, all our young adults, all our children, it endures to all generations, to our children, our children's children, our children's 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 children, and so we can go on. Each generation of Numa has discovered that God's truth outlasts our desires. Each family, each generation of Numa has discovered that God's truth outlasts our trends. Each generation of Numa has discovered that God's truth outlasts our opinions. The legacy we have today is because someone trusted God yesterday. And the legacy that will be here in 2125, that's right, in 100 years, is because someone will trust him today. Will that be you? Will that be you? Will you trust him with us today and tomorrow and next month and next year and the year after that and the year after that? You see, people, because legacy is not what people remember about you. It's what they can build on because of you. You play a role. You play an active role. They can build on something because you have trusted today. You see, trust, that word trust, is the seed for future generations. Trust always has a generational impact. Always. Joshua declared in Joshua 24:15, As for me and my, we will serve the Lord. That word serve is avad. Avad, meaning to work. That word serve means to labor and to worship. It is used for serving God as well as working the land. It actually implies an active engagement or an obedience on instruction. You see, when we trust God with our finances, when we trust God with our faith, when we trust God with our families, it is our active engagement or the obedience on instruction. It is us leaning fully on God in those areas. And through that, through you doing that, we say to the future believers, you can trust him too. And that's what it's all about. I say this because the Hebrew word for house, me and my house, is bayit. Bayit is more than a physical dwelling. Bayit refers to a household, to a lineage, to a generation, and another generation, and another generation. By it refers to people. You see, Joshua is declaring this. He's declaring that his descendants, his servants, and the generations to come will be marked by covenant to Yahweh. They will be marked. Stop. Think about it. Joshua said that. Fast forward 2,000 plus something years. You and I, the Newman Church family, are actually part of that lineage. Whoa. Whoa. So when we say, when you say, me and my house, we will serve the Lord, we're not just saying, oh, we're going to serve the Lord. We're not making a personal confession. We are continuing where Joshua started. You and I are continuing where Joshua started. It's like this story of an old church built on a small hill. Over 100 years, the lamp burned on the altar day and night. It is basically being said that when the church was first planted, the founding pastor lit the flame, and this was his prayer: may the light of this house never go out. Generations came, generations went, wars came, wars went, droughts came, droughts went, leadership changes happening, leadership changes happening, leadership changes happening. Yet the flame was never extinguished. You see, the key was each generation took responsibility to refill the oil, to tend the wick, and to keep the flame alive. Each generation was their responsibility. This flame became more than a symbol of tradition. It became a picture of trust that was passed down from generation to generation. And every generation learned this. We're not starting something new. We are continuing something sacred. Wow. Wow. Numa family, I'm saying to you, and even to those of you who are visiting today, you may not be part of the Numa family, but you're part of the believers of that are across this globe. But I'm speaking specifically to the Numa family. We're not starting something new. We are continuing something that started 100 years ago. We may have a new building. We may have a new location. But the flame is at Joseph Street. Sorry, flame is at Richmond. In Richmond. That's where it started. Bridge Street. That's where it started. 100 years ago. As we celebrate 100 years of Numa Church, we too are tending the flame. The trust, the faith, the obedience of those who came before us are the oil in our lamps. And now, it's our turn to keep it burning. So that in another 100 years, others will look back and say they trusted God. And because they did, we can build upon it. We play an active role. Keyword is active. When you look at the two Hebrew words in Proverbs 3 and 5 and Joshua 25, 15, you see they go hand in hand. Trust. Batach. The key idea being internal posture of reliance. Internal. It's your internal posture of reliance and confidence. Avad. The key idea being the external posture of obedience and devotion. Joshua's, we will serve the Lord, flows from a place of trust, from the batach, in the Lord's proven faithfulness. Joshua is not serving a God he doubts, he's serving a God he fully trusts. You see, while batach and avad are different in form, they are very connected. Look at this table. Batach is the internal posture. Avad is the external, internal, external faith expression. Batach is a confidence in God's character. Avad is your commitment to God's commands. Batach is resting in God, in who God is. Avad is responding to what God says. Patach is the heart of dependence, where Avad is the hands of obedience. They go hand in hand. Because throughout Scripture, true service is always born out of trust. Abraham trusted God. Abraham betach God and obeyed by offering Avad, by offering Isaac. Israel was called to trust, to betach Yahweh in the wilderness and to avad him alone. We read that in Deuteronomy 6:13. Jesus said, you can, Jesus said basically in Matthew 6:24, you cannot serve, you cannot avad two masters, because who you trust, who you betach most, who you most lean on is the one that you will serve the most. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Are you getting this? Biblically speaking, we are saying, betach, trust leads to service, and service proves trust. Trust leads to service, and service proves trust. And this, my friends, becomes the legacy that others build on. Joshua 24:15 is the fruit of Proverbs 3:5. A legacy of trust always leads to a life of service. So the point is this. If legacy is what we leave behind, then can I suggest to us that trust is what we need to build right now? Trust. And I'm not talking about trust in me. I'm talking about trust in Him. The immovable, unshakable, mighty God. So how do we do it? Well, the first point is trust in God's faithfulness. Fully lean upon Him. Joshua had seen God deliver Israel from Egypt. Joshua had seen God part the Jordan. Joshua had seen God bring down the walls of Jericho. His trust was not a theory. It was, and it still is, a testimony of him fully leaning upon God. You see, when we trust God, even in uncertainty, we are saying to future generations, He is trustworthy. You can build your life on Him. We need to build trust, church. The second point is live with integrity and consistency. Trust is fragile. I don't know if you realize this. It takes years and years and years to build it, but seconds to lose it. You see, the generations before us at Richmond Temple didn't build a legacy of 100 years through perfection. No, but they built it through consistency. They showed up. They prayed. They gave. They forgave. They loved. You see, when our words match our actions, we become trustworthy stewards of the gospel. And through that, we build trust and we leave a legacy. How do we build trust today? Third point, invest in the next generation. That's why our kids are really important. Our youth on a Friday is really important. Our young adults are really important. We are investing in the next generation, because Joshua didn't declare, as for me and me alone. No, no, no. He said, as for me and my house. He understood that trust multiplies when it's passed down. Our task is not just to keep the flame burning. Our task is to hand on the flame so that the next generation can run. We need to teach them to fill the oil. We need to teach them to trim the wick. We need to teach them to keep the flame burning. That's why we invest in them so much. You see, my prayer is this, that when our children and our children's children and our children's children's children gather in 2125, they will say, we are here because they trusted God in 2025. So church, as we honor the past, can you recommit to the future? Or should I rather say that? Not ask the question, but make that a statement. As we honor the past, let us recommit to the future. Let us lean in again. Let us lean again on the Lord. Let us trust Him, not in methods, not in man, not in movement, but in a faithful God who never fails. Because legacy is not built in a day. Legacy is not built in a day. It's built day by day by those who dare to trust. Those who dare to trust. I'm reminded of Peter. We spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. They're on the lake, in the waves. Jesus comes walking on the water. They freak out. Jesus says, it's me. Peter goes, if it's you, tell me to come. He says, come. Jesus says, come. Hello. Peter trusted on those words. Peter leaned on fully. Scripture says he climbed down onto the water and walked to Jesus. Now we know the ending. He glued, glued, glued. He sank because he took his eyes. We know that. Go listen to the previous sermon. But the thing is, there was trust. It's time to walk on the water. He's saying, come. He's saying to his church, come. It is me. Come. Come. So my question to you as we finish up, thanks, James, is will you trust in the Lord completely? And will you not rely on your own opinions anymore? As a church, as the church, not as Pneuma East. No, as the church, capital D, capital C. Will you trust in the Lord? And somebody who's hearing this message, I'm hoping that this message goes viral globally, that people, that the church hears it. Will the church trust in the Lord completely and stop relying on their own opinions? Because our opinions does not matter. Does not matter. Here's another question. Will you build with us? Will you build with us today so that our legacy lives on for another 100 years? Will you build with us? Us being Paulina, myself, and the team, the pastors and the leaders, with God. Not us. Because I'm not asking you to build a Pneuma empire. Pastors have tried in the past. Different churches, not here, different churches. Doesn't work. But when we build His kingdom, that's what we're called for. That's what matters. Will you trust the Lord completely? Will you build with us so that this legacy of trust in Him will live for another 100 years?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.